Welcome to the Victory Podcast.
Hey, Victors, welcome to this episode of the Victory Show. If this is the first time you're joining us, I'm Travis Cote, bestselling author of 16 books, and I've had the privilege of helping hundreds of business consultants, founders, entrepreneurs write and publish their own bestselling books as well. And in that journey, I've discovered a fascinating pattern. A lot of businesses hit a revenue plateau, usually around $1 million, and they struggle to break through it. So on this show, I sit down with some of the world's most successful CEOs, leaders, founders, and business owners to uncover the strategies they use to overcome those plateaus and then scale their businesses to new heights. More importantly, so you can figure out how to do the same. So get ready for some deep insights, actionable takeaways that you can implement in your business and life starting today. Today's guest is a rising force at the intersection of medicine, innovation, and artificial intelligence. One of my favorite things to talk about, health and AI. Dr. Bhargav Patel is a physician leader, entrepreneur, and an author whose interdisciplinary approach is helping reshape the future of healthcare from the inside out. Currently, he's an NIMH-funded research fellow in child and adolescent psychiatry at Brown University. Dr. Patel is exploring the neurobiology of trauma and resilience while also simultaneously pushing the boundaries of what's possible in clinic decision making through AI. And I can't wait to talk about that. As the founding medical director and director of AI decision support at Sully.ai, he's led the design and implementation of AI tools now used by thousands of clinicians across millions of patient visits each year, reducing errors and saving lives. Now, Dr. Patel is also the co-founder, CEO, and chief scientific officer at MyPeak, a science-driven health and wellness company he launched during medical school. And I still don't know how he did that. We're going to talk about that. Under his leadership, MyPeak has achieved triple-digit growth, won multiple awards, and introduced industry-leading nutritional supplements backed by rigorous science. So whether he's leading AI innovation, conducting trauma research, or just pioneering nutrition and wellness solutions, Dr. Patel is driven by a bold vision to transform healthcare and empower human potential. Doctor, thank you so much for being here. I'm so glad you took the time out of your day.
Thank you.
I don't know how doctors find the time. Plus, you're like, you know, running a couple of different companies here. So that's remarkable. I know you get this question all the time, but when do you sleep?
That is a very common question that I get. But I think one of the keys to that is making your life efficient. And that starts with you. It starts with actually getting the right amount of sleep. I make sure to sleep 6 to 8 hours every night, get the right nutrition, get sunlight, all the good things for your health. And that I think that supports you to do things in a much more efficient way.
Well, it sounds like you love what you're doing. And I, you know, that also helps with the energy throughout the day versus you're like, oh God, I got to go to this thing again. Right. So a lot of people run into. So I'm just so fascinated because obviously I'm not a doctor, nor have I played one on TV yet. But my perception is medical school is pretty rigorous. And yet in the middle of all of that, you still somehow created your own nutrition company. Like, let's talk about that. MyPeak. First off, where did the idea for that even come from?
So great question. So with MyPeak, I started with my partner. I originally came up with the idea of it from a protocol I had designed for myself. So as I mentioned, I'm really passionate about nutrition and lifestyle. I started out with that really at 16 years old, was studying it for years, did some research, read every book I could on the topic, and tested out a bunch of different things. So I'd created a protocol for myself that other people around me started taking and they loved it.
So you were Andrew Huberman-ing before Andrew Huberman-ing.
Basically. I think of that today as, you know, that's become really big. And I'm like, back when I was doing it, it really wasn't a big thing. And I was just exploring myself.
Wow.
Yeah.
Did any of that come out of the fact that in medical school, or you guys kind of got the foundations of nutrition, but there really wasn't a lot of exploration into that?
Yeah, the synthesis of all the stuff I had studied before, plus the strong foundation you get in physiology, anatomy, neuroscience, everything in medical school, really, it came together. Because when you have just one piece of the puzzle, you don't understand it to the absolute depth that you do when you can combine multiple Wow. disciplines. And so that really came together towards the second half of my med school career and blossomed into MyPeak.
Okay, so walk me through that first year. What year were you in your training?
Third year of medical school. So I was actually on my surgery rotation. So not a great time to start a company. It's known for being brutal. I'd be waking up at like 5 a.m. in the morning. Sometimes I'd be going to sleep at 1, 2 a.m. at night because I was thinking of different ideas and working on different things for the company. So it was probably the absolute worst month you could have started a company. But that was the month I was like, I just got to do it this month. I had figured it out. The idea came and I just had to get right on it.
So how did you approach the manufacturing side of that then? Just the fact that you're bootstrapping this and you're in medical school. Did you have resources because of medical school, or was that just all come out of research?
No, I did not have any resources in terms of bootstrapping the company. I reached out to some mentors. My uncle was a mentor that he had started several businesses, both in the tech industry, but just I'd never started a company before. I reached out for some advice. And then
the first advice is like, no, don't do it. But if you still want to, here's the steps I would recommend.
That's essentially how it went. And so I got some ideas and then just started step by step. I was like, you know what? I'll have to figure it out one step along the way. You can't know the whole piece, the whole vision right when you start. So I was like, take one step at a time. The next step will become clear once you take that. And that's what I did through the crazy surgery rotation. And then that's where my peak started. And we were launched with the product about 9 months later.
Wow. So you were doing surgery rotations while you were creating formulas for your first initial supplements that were going to go out.
Yep.
So were a lot of your like co-students and co-partners in the surgery rotation, were they your guinea pigs? Did you bring stuff in and you were like, hey, let me try my new nutrition shake that I came up with last night?
They were taking several of them. Several of the surgeons had started taking the protocol that I had recommended and they were loving it. And so I'd kept getting recommendations like, you guys need to combine it into one thing so it's efficient to take. So it was a combination of 27 different supplements and different things, but way too complex for the average person to take. We did combine it into one thing, get all the balance right, and then it was perfect.
That's so fast. That was like, so I used to do direct response sales copy in the supplement industry. And that was one of the things that I always used to wonder. I was like, every client was coming along with like one thing. And I was like, why can't we just put all of these together into a thing? And it sounded like you did. I didn't know someone had, they'd figured that out.
Yeah.
How did you handle, like, so the, you know, I know part of the supplements is the formulation aspect. So like, where were you formulating your protocol? Were you just doing it in your kitchen?
So no, we did get manufacturers to test it out with and to create the supplement. So we had very stringent requirements we wanted for the manufacturing, because the supplements can be the Wild West, you know, but most companies are not started by physicians or scientists. Yeah. So, you know,
well, I think we also need to clarify, because you and I talked about this, but this is very much, this is also vegan supplements too, right? So there's a whole other level of analysis that needs to go into this.
Absolutely. And so we had to go through all that. We found manufacturers that fit our criteria, that manufactured fully in the US, had stringent requirements around like purity and testing and everything. So once we narrowed down to a short list of manufacturers, we started testing out different versions of the protocol. So they'd manufacture it. We'd take the supplements. We'd see if it was like hitting the same way as the protocol did. And then once we got that right, we got our first batch out there.
Wow. Yeah. Now see, the fact that you were like taking it and testing it and making sure it was still getting the same results as the individual pieces is, you're right. That's a whole, like, that's a step beyond what most companies will do. So you launched it. When you launched it, was it just you and your co-founder when you started, just the two of you? And like, walk me through the launch. Did you guys end up having to pre-order a bunch of it and you had like supplements in your garage? Is that where we started?
We did have supplements in our garage. It's another garage story. So we did pre-order. We found a manufacturer that was willing to work with us on not a mega large minimum order quantity. But yeah, we did have a stack of boxes in my garage and we were starting out. We launched our website. We launched on Amazon and we really progressively went from there, branching out. And then it really, about 4 months in, started to take off in terms of the sales. They really caught momentum and continued to grow very rapidly from there.
Wow. So let's talk about that then. So for you as you're going from researcher to formulator to CEO to then marketer, like how did your leadership style have to grow? Like let's say starting month six, you're 4 months into it. Now it's like, oh, this thing is actually starting to go. By the way, I've still got my residency and I've still got, where like, let's walk me through a little bit of like the emotions of that phase there.
Yeah, the beginning days were definitely, they got stressful because I hadn't done it before. I was learning all these things as I was doing it. I was reading a bunch. I was looking things up, you know, from everything, from the legal side to the financial side to, you know, as an entrepreneur, you basically have to do everything. So we were handling everything from marketing to finance to sales, all of it. And so it was a lot of self-studying and just kind of working through it. Stressful at times, but I really stuck to the thing I said in the beginning, like take it one step at a time. Once you do that step, you'll be able to see the next step. And a lot of times, very serendipitous things came in and really just helped us along the way.
So what did it feel like when you hired your first employee?
Great, actually, for multiple reasons. One, because it was no longer all my work to do. That took a huge load off, and we really started to feel like the momentum of like replicating the work we're doing with other employees, which took the load off of us from doing every little task, but getting to focus on the vision, the big picture stuff, and really focus on optimizing our marketing so we could focus better.
Now, how did you juggle the two, though? Because you obviously had your own website, but you also had Amazon, and those each require very different marketing strategies. So did you attempt to do both of those at the same time, or did you kind of lean into one versus the other?
So we actually did our initial test through Amazon FBA. So that way we could just, it was an easy way to get all the logistics, shipping, and everything covered. We tested out there. As that caught fire, then we were like, all right, now we can get it up and going on our website, because we really wanted to test the waters first. So that's sure. And then once that really got going, we got it up and running on our website, and then we got both channels going. Then we eventually expanded onto Walmart, and into now we're in a bunch of pharmacies, med spas, places around the country.
Wow. So how long were you out before you ended up getting into the Walmart? And did you specifically seek that out, or did one of their buyers find you? Because from what I understand, that's very hard to get into Walmart.
We did specifically seek that out, and there were others, like GNC reached out to us, Whole Foods reached out to us. So there's a lot of things still in the works, but we did seek out the Walmart one.
What did that do to your growth? Just that adding that one channel in.
It really did skyrocket our growth. And really every channel that was added continued to grow and multiply on itself. We hit roadblocks along the way, but we've continued to progress with our growth, as well as, you know, even weathering tough economic times, as things have been all over the place over the last few years.
For some reason, I don't know why, but
yeah, I mean, we launched during COVID, so we were.
Right. But also what a fantastic timing for you, right? Because I don't think there was any other time where the collective discussion around sunlight and exercise and proper nutrition was actually being had, you know, and what can we do? Get some sunlight and eat right. Right. But then people are like, what does that mean? So, I mean, I know that all business has some sort of luck, but I look at that going, the timing was really fantastic, because you were in front of the wave that was coming, which has got to be pretty gratifying, I would think.
Absolutely. The timing was perfect at that time. I think there's been a wave of health and wellness and understanding about health since COVID happened that really took off on seeds that had been growing before that, but it really kind of shot through after that.
So let's talk about then, because obviously, you know, what I love to talk about is the scaling issues, and a lot of businesses get stuck at $1 million and they can't break through it. So for you guys, obviously being a startup, getting to $1 million, like you're past that. So let's talk about, what were some of the challenges scaling that fat quickly, that fast, like going beyond $1 million and more? Because now you're bringing in all these multiple channels. And what I'm more curious about, like, how did you as a leader handle this rapid growth? Because it sounded like you guys kind of like kicked along and then went.
And we had several of those moments. You know, I saw this graph recently, but a lot of entrepreneurship is actually like, it's parallel and then it shoots up, and there's multiple periods where you just get this shooting upwards. And we experienced that definitely. Like the first few months were kind of low, and then all of a sudden it started to shoot up by like 4 or 5 times what we were having. Then it kind of steadied out a bit, and then we shot up again. So what we found was successful at really helping with that was finding new successes in the marketing game. So essentially we'd reach new plateaus as we mastered a new level of marketing. So we started adding like Amazon ads, and then Google ads, and then SEO, and different layers of marketing. As we mastered those, that really helped shoot our success to the next level.
Wow. And then in terms of the Walmart aspect, what was that journey like? Can you walk us through that? Because I think most people listening to the show are going, God, if I could ever get in Walmart, that would be pretty amazing. So can you walk us through how long did it take? What was the strategy behind it?
So we used RangeMe, which is a platform for companies that are selling products, to basically advertise them to retailers. The retailers are also on there trying to source products. They'll have different things, like when they're looking for sustainable products or other things like that. So our products really fit that category of sustainable products, because we are a fully vegan brand. We try to use sustainable manufacturing when possible. Fully carbon neutral shipping, all the things front
there. You guys really were ahead of the curve with a lot of this stuff.
Absolutely. And that was the core principles from which we started the company. We called it our triple impact mission. So we wanted to create great products for our customers. We want to make an impact on our communities. So for every bottle we sell, we also donate a meal to Feeding America. And then sustainability. So that was the core of our mission. So really sticking to our principles was what helped us, because as these different companies are looking for different things like sustainability, diversity, whatever they're looking for, if you really fit that image, you have a great shot, even if you're relatively early in the game.
So I got to ask, I think most people in your shoes, you're walking the medical path, you've got a successful business, the business takes off. Most people, I think, would go, yeah, the medical thing was great, but now I'm going to go do business owner. You're still doing both.
Yeah, I'm definitely doing both. I'm really passionate about medicine. I love what I do. So I work in psychiatry, adult and child and adolescent, and also research. So the reason I got into medicine was I love the brain. I love neuroscience. I love everything about it. So it's when you're passionate about it, it's like that question they ask, like, if you won the lottery, what would you change? Like, I'd pretty much do the same things.
What a fantastic lifestyle. That's fantastic. So I know this is going to be off topic from scaling, but just because you're in this world, I love it. Like, what's some of the like really exciting things going on in neuroscience right now?
There whole wealth of things in neuroscience. So really, you know, we didn't get the explosion of neuroscience has happened really over the last 30 years. We didn't get good brain imaging stuff till within the last 50
years. It was the late 90s. They were still going like, no, you hit 30s and your brain doesn't grow anymore. And then was it 2002? They're like, no, neuroplasticity. And people are like, what?
Yeah, exactly. First, there was the neuroplasticity revolution where we realized the brain can change. And then we've actually recently started to discover over the last 10 years that not only can the brain change, we used to think for a long time that neurons, you were born with them, you grew no new ones the rest of your life. So you were only progressively losing brain cells. But now we've seen there are areas of the brain that still continue to grow brand new neurons throughout our life. And certain things in terms of lifestyle or experiences can actually activate that new neuron growth.
Wow. All right. So what are some of those?
So there's a whole wealth of things that have been studied. We're not 100% sure about all those yet, but a lot of lifestyle changes can make an impact. So obviously all of the good health things have not all been individually studied, but realistically, they're all going to help support that neuron growth. Even things like antidepressants have been shown to increase neuroplasticity and neurogenesis in the brain. So part of how they make in the brain is through those mechanisms.
That's remarkable. So did all of that then lead into the work that you're doing with trauma and resiliency?
Yes. So I did a lot of work with PTSD, trauma, like war veterans, things like that. It's an area I'm particularly interested in, what most of my research is in. And I actually have a book coming out on that later this year called Trauma Transformed, which is about everything. Basically, there are books for medical professionals, but this is a book for the general public on everything you need to understand about what's happening when you have PTSD or trauma, what's happening in the brain, what's happening in the body, and all the ways you can begin the journey to recover from it. So that's what we're working on.
Well, we almost have a whole new like level of trauma where it's political trauma.
Yeah, that's
I'm like, we just entered this whole new like level of like post PTSD, right? In the election PTSD. Yeah. So what fantastic timing for your book. But I love it because, you know, especially in Western society up until recently, especially for men, right? You just suck it up, right? Don't cry, just suck it up, just deal with it. But the fact now that you, especially with military coming like, hey, you know, if you had to fire your gun and you're in that situation, like there's some stuff going around there. But the fact now that we're opening up that it's okay to talk about these things. And I think now with you writing a book, right? You know, let's say I'm not, but if I was a Marine and I came back from Afghanistan, I'm a tough guy. I don't want to see a therapist because my friends will think of me. But now there's a book I can go and read and it starts to explain there's nothing wrong with me. This is actual thing. Oh, maybe it is okay for me to go see a therapist. Maybe this is actually, I'm not broken. I'm not a, you know, whatever. So, that's fantastic. What are some of the things that you talk about in the book that's going to come out, especially in terms of trauma? I'm very curious about the trauma and the resiliency and what you mean by that.
Yeah. What you just said was actually one of the most important parts. Like, and I emphasize that in the book before the people reading it, trauma is not in your head in the way people think. Like people say, oh, it's just in your head. No, it's not. It's actually wired into your nervous system. It's wired into even your genetics. We have what's called epigenetics, which is the markers on top of our DNA, and they literally change in response to your trauma. So when you feel like it's your whole body that's traumatized, it is. It's in your brain. It's in your genes. It's in your physiology, your blood pressure, everything is affected by trauma. So it's far more than just something you're thinking about. And that's why changing it, recovering from it has to go much deeper than just like having a positive mindset. Like it's a much deeper layer to recovery. Wow.
And yeah, and what was, I don't know the exact study. I just remember reading about it a while back where they did the study on children of Holocaust survivors and were showing that even like their genes had trauma from their parents. Yep. So there's stuff happening to them in the 30s that shouldn't have happened, but it was, you know, so there's this whole, like you said, epigenetics, right? There are some types of trauma that you end up inheriting. So yeah, well, this is fascinating. All right. You're doing so many great things. Let's pivot into then now how Sully AI comes into the picture with all of this, because this is very exciting to me.
Absolutely. So I'm the founding medical director at Sully AI. What we're doing at Sully is very exciting. It's been something I've been very passionate about lately, riding that AI revolution wave to really change things in for physicians and in healthcare and save as many lives as we can. So in terms of the specifics, we are creating what's called agentic AI or AI agents that will do all different tasks in healthcare, such as scribing physicians' notes. So they'll listen as the doctor speaks with the patient, write the notes so the doctors can spend time focusing on the patient rather than typing on their computer, which brings that natural doctor-patient interaction back. It will also help with medical decision support. So it will help generate diagnoses and treatment plans and everything. So it'll provide a second layer of safety, preventing errors, both in terms of diagnosis, treatment, and medications, and all across the board. And so many other things. It can serve as a receptionist. It can translate. It can do lots of different things. So we're doing a full AI co-pilot. Oh, yeah.
Just the idea of the translation bot alone is like just so remarkable to me that somebody can come in and you got a little, you know, essentially an Alexa speaker there, right? And you're just talking and it's translating. I think also just the concept of real-time note-taking and summary. And then obviously, you guys are coding that into so that it meets all the insurance codes. Like, you know, my doctor, he'll meet with me for 5 minutes and I think it's 15 minutes for him to fill out the reports after our thing. So if you can shorten that down, I mean, like that's remarkable. So where did the idea, now I know that you came on as a medical director, but where did the idea for Sully come from? The founders from this, or were they in the medical space and saw this as a need?
So no, they were not in the medical space. They were actually from the tech world, but they found, so one of the founders, his wife was pregnant, giving birth. He was going through a medical journey and saw how inefficient that whole journey was. How many obstacles and challenges they came across. So they really came together. They're like, this needs to change. Like, there's so many ways that this could be improved and it would make everything better for patients and physicians. And so they really became fired up about that. And that's how Sully was born.
Wow. And so what's your job as the medical director with that? Is it, are you sort of the middle man right now, helping bridge the tech with the actual real world implementation?
That is one part of my role. So there's multiple layers. The main part that I'm really focused on is the medical AI decision support. I think long term, that's what's going to revolutionize medicine, where the AI gets super good at making diagnoses, treatment plans, everything that a physician does, the AI will do as a support for the physicians. So it will prevent physicians from making errors, like missing things that they just couldn't keep up with in the million things that they have to do. It will prevent all of that. So that's what I'm focused on. And it's getting really good. I mean, there's been multiple studies published recently about AI versus physicians in terms of diagnostic accuracy. And AI is keeping up with physicians. In certain studies, it's even beating physicians. And so what we're going to have to find in the future is really separating what physicians do best and AI does best. When it comes to purely structured problems, like here's a list of symptoms and what's the diagnosis, AI is a computer. It can search through everything that exists way faster than any human mind can. So diagnostically, AI will be superior to physicians. Wow. And so we're finding the best way to combine physicians and AI.
So what's really interesting to me is the application to that for people that come in with like anomalies, right? So like, and the reason that's top of mind, like I have a cousin, he was really sick when he was 9 or 10. They couldn't figure out what was going on. Mm-hmm. And he was sick for a number of years and just happened to be at a hospital one time. And doctors were talking about his case as somebody was walking by. That particular doctor who was researching this really weird thing. And he's like, that sounds like this thing I've been researching for 3 years. And so they ended up, that's what a guy, he's one of 9 people with whatever this condition is. That's how rare it is, right? But it took 6 years and an literal accident for that to happen. So I think about nowadays, the doctors could be like, here's this thing, we don't know what it is. And the AI is searching the entire medical base to go, it could be one of these 4 things. By the way, these 2 are really rare, but that might be it. That to me is amazing. Like that is super exciting.
Exactly. And I think those are the areas where I'll be a game changer.
Yeah. You know, it's so fascinating that this is what you're working on. Because earlier today, somebody hired me to help them with a book. She's a medical doctor. She's an oncologist. And the book is all about the fact that the American medical system right now is in a bit of a crisis and nobody's talking about it, in that when you look at the age range of the doctors, there's something like 40% of today's doctors are going to be retiring starting 2030. So in 5 years, we're going to lose 30 or 40% of our medical force, and the schools aren't keeping up with it. There's not enough younger people coming into the doctors. And so I just find it, somebody else is noticing that. I'm looking at going, how now is AI going to, you know, you have a doctor now that can meet with 15 or 20 people in a day with really high quality interaction versus, you know, however many they're doing now. That's part of the solution. But yeah, that's fantastic.
Absolutely.
So where do you see, like with Solly, walk me through the next 5 years. What is it in the ideal scenario of, like, you know, everybody implements Solly the way that you guys are building it? What is that? Let's say we're 2030, Travis is going to the hospital for, I don't know, a hernia surgery. How now is my experience going to be with AI Solly running in that hospital?
In an ideal world, if this continues growing at the level it is and gets as good as we expect it will, within, so let's see, 20, 30, 5 years from now, you'd go in to the physician's office. The AI would come in on a computer, talk to you, get the history, just like the doctor or in a teaching hospital, a resident would. They'll get the history. They'll gather all the information. Then they'll generate a list of diagnoses, what they think it is. With all that, the doctor will come in. They'll do the physical exam. And then combining what they just saw with what the AI came up with, they'll come up with a diagnosis that will likely be more accurate than any physician alone could have done. And then, I mean, if you're getting surgery, it might be AI-assisted surgery as well.
That's absolutely remarkable. Well, this is fascinating stuff. So let's say somebody's listening to this conversation. They're loving what's going on. There's two things you've got going on. So if somebody wants to improve their health and nutrition, where do they go to look into your products?
So they can go to mypeaksupplements.com. They can also find us on Amazon and
Walmart.
Walmart and in other places around the country.
And so if there's any administrators or doctors listening and they're interested in working with you guys on Solly, where do they go to find more about Solly?
They can go to Solly.com or Solly AI's website, and there's a careers page. There's a listing of all the roles we're hiring for. So they can go there and find out if they fit for any of those descriptions.
Wow. Final question. With MyPeak, how are you guys leveraging AI with MyPeak supplements?
So we have actually not started leveraging AI with MyPeak yet.
Yeah.
So we're working on that right now. So we'll see.
That's awesome. Well, Dr. Patel, thank you so much for your time. This has been an awesome conversation.
It's been a pleasure.